you for giving us such an invitation through our blessed Holy Savior Jesus, who has given us the freedom to choose to become the children of God. We have invited you to take the complete controls over our hearts, over our minds, over our bodies that you have given us, and over our lives, and make us forever your own. You know us, Lord. You know our needs. You know our conflict. You know about our sins. You know about our struggles, our desires and wants. And we cannot trust anyone to love us so more than you can. And so we trust our lives into your perfect Holy Spirit to finish the work of righteousness in us as we yield to you our heart and mind and body and soul. Thank you for all of my brothers and sisters here and your children who have consecrated the heart and mind and soul to you, and now you have used them to bless me, to bless one another, to bless our families and your church everywhere. I pray that your Holy Spirit come and commune with us, to comfort us, to strengthen us, to give us the knowledge of heaven, to sanctify and make us holy thine. May your Spirit be alone our teacher and our preacher, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Jesus, Holy One, our freedom is in His blood. And that's what happened in the Old Testament when the angel of death passed by. And the instruction were given to the people of Israel that those who will kill the lamb and put the blood on the post of the door, the angel of death will pass by, that none of those within this household will lose their firstborn son. And Jesus came to be the blood of the lamb, not just to save the firstborn son, but to save everyone who believes on His holy name. And it is a mystery in that, but the process of it is simple, and that is what I'm going to be sharing with us today. I'm going to be skipping Proverbs for today. I'm going to be speaking on that next week by the grace of God, how wisdom by the word of God prolong our life. And not just prolong our life, it gives us the healthiest and most prosperous life. And how the absence of God's knowledge and wisdom really produced the opposite. But today, I have decided last night to skip Proverbs and to go into Hebrews. And I didn't know the song that the Lord will be placing on Cole's heart. Because it goes very much with the text.
Wow.
See, amazing how God works. When we all say, Lord, here we are, send us. It is the Holy Spirit that bring about all things together. And I'm very grateful for the song because it shows us how the knowledge of the Lord Jesus can set us at liberty from our own sins and the great control and oppression of sin, and can protect us from the snares of the fowler and the noisome pestilence. And how God intervenes through the blood of Jesus to make sure that we are protected by the blood of the Lamb. We were talking about if we are to overcome our fears, if we are to overcome our conflicts with self and with others, if we are to prevail against the trials and tribulations of life, we have to learn, exercise the power of prayer. If we do not pray, we don't have power. And even though God is always willing to be there for us and to guide us, if we don't ask, seek, and knock, we don't receive. And the devil come in his own many different ways to discourage us from praying. So we will not have the power, and we will become so vulnerable to his every mishaps and to his weapons of mass discouragement. And he tried to give us substitutes so we would feel the desire less to pray. Did you experience that before?
Yes.
I have. And be very warned. Don't let him prevail. Every day, the devil has plans to stumble us, plans to hurt us, plans to discourage us and to reduce our faith in Jesus. Every day. Because he knows that his time is short. And he knows our weaknesses. And he knows that Jesus tried to save us every day. But it has to be our choice and our decisions if we truly ask, seek, and knock. And we also began the journey with the Word of God. How the Word of God, the Word of knowledge, make us wiser than our enemies. And we have read that in Psalms 119 last week. You know, our enemies are forever within us, and the worst enemy is always residing in. It is that enemy inside that come with this worldly knowledge and limited knowledge to really cause us to question ourselves and to doubt in our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that enemy that make us feel emptiness inside, and it is that enemy that always tells how to satisfy that longing through many sinful means that is very destructive to us. The Word of God give us the overwhelming power to subdue that enemy within. Also, the Word of God make us wiser than even our teachers. You know, the officials in Sacramento are making decisions after decisions. And some of them are not in accordance to the Word of God and in contrary to the Word of God. And all of these laws that the state make eventually end up in textbooks. Okay? One of the latest laws that just passed, and we were praying that it does not pass, that will affect all counselors and all therapists of all kind. That if a minor up till the age of 18 is struggling with homosexuality, no therapist will be allowed to tell them that there is something wrong with that and there is another alternative. It will be against the law. Unless you're in a Christian institution. Worse yet, even parents will be held liable if they try to change the child's desire and sexual orientation. Isn't that something? A law firm, Pacific Justice Institute, have taken the case to the court. And right now it is in the court. And they're going to go through the trial that is very much infringes on the rights of families and individuals who believe there is a different way and a better way for the child to choose. But that is where we are. That is the knowledge of the world. You know, many of the laws may be good, but not necessarily spiritual. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily biblically correct. We are instructed to obey God and to obey man. But as the apostles faced that dilemma before, and they decided, would rather obey God than man. God ordained us and ordained the family and ordained the world with a certain wonderful order. He created us, right? And he knows how we can survive a long, blessed life on this earth according to his own ordinances. But mankind, with the help of the enemy, come and try to change things to appease certain people with certain interests. But that is where we are. So all of this eventually will end up in institutions, will challenge the church, and will end up in textbooks as well.
The word of God will make us wiser than our enemies, wiser than our teachers, and wiser than the ancient, because we know how God ordained things beautifully and wonderfully. And we know how the enemy is trying to change things. And God made the promise that if we hide his word in our heart, we will not be easily deceived. See, knowledge is power. I was told that by a professor when I came to America. He said, Abraham, to make it in this country and to succeed in this country, you got to have knowledge, because knowledge is power. But he was not talking about biblical knowledge. He was talking about academic knowledge. In many ways, having the knowledge of the world is an asset, because you know the language of the world. And you know how the world thinks. And you also learn about the deceptive ways of the world. But the knowledge of the gospel gives us the master plan how to subjugate all knowledge underneath it, that it may be well with us, our families, and God's church, even in the midst of a perverse nations. That's what the Bible said. How can we shine like a city on a hill in a very dark world? So the word of God, unlike any other word, it gives us the problem and it gives us the solution. Very different from the problem stated and the solution offered by the world. If you look at the solution offered by the world for many problems, it is offered to exacerbate the problems. It really is. But knowledge is the foundation of all decisions. When you're watching all of the ads on TV, what are they giving to the people? They're giving them knowledge of a product or a service, correct? Right. Not just that. They're giving people the knowledge of product or services, and they are using their senses to stimulate a need inside them. And they create the need inside by telling you there is something you lack and something you need. So, if you don't have the problem, they create it in you. And if you have the problem, they rise it quickly, and then they conclude in half a minute ad on what you ought to do. Go and buy it. Go and get it. Give us a call. So they state, they give you knowledge. They tell you what your problem and what your need is, and they tell you the answer about how to go about it in half a minute. Do you know how many millions of dollars they are paying for that? Because they are betting that they're going to be making lots of money on lots of people. You see the power of knowledge there? Knowledge thought for, knowledge planned, and knowledge executed in half a minute produce great results. And big corporation will tell you about the amount of profit they made based on their advertisement, based on their promotion. Now, I'm not saying here that everything we hear is bad. Some things are good for us. Some things we don't need. But they made us feel as if we need it, right? And then how much money is being spent on the propositions? You see those propositions running like you can't believe it? Lots of propositions, right? And one say yes, the other say
no.
And everyone is using the knowledge to create a need by the emotions of fear. If you don't read the proposition yourself, and if you don't read who wrote it and everything else, you don't have the right knowledge to make the right decisions. And we as God people need to have the knowledge. No TV and nobody else should be telling us what we should think and what we should believe, right? We are under the guide of the Holy Spirit. It is the Word of God that guides us unto all truth and show us the way. Why? Because every decision we make or support It affects us, our families, our state, and our people, and great many generations to come. And therefore, I do discourage the notion that we make a decision based on political affiliation. Don't do that. Make decision as a child of God. Pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to make all of the decision you're making. And if you make your decision in good conscience, even if you say no on a proposition, and the masses voted yes, you are protected by the blood of the Lamb. Do you see where the freedom comes from? You see that? And if you voted yes, and the masses voted no, and it's a very bad decision, you are protected by the blood of the Lamb. Because you did not base your decision on the knowledge of the world or on political affiliation. You know, I got 2-3 emails from Christian organizations, supposedly Christian organizations, who are very much telling me how to vote. And as I'm reading, I just finished my prayer and devotion, I see lots of wickedness there. How can you use the most precious name of Jesus to tell the people how to vote? No, it is better to pray and let the Holy Spirit guide you in all decision and show you the way. Because many people do not want to spend the time to get what?
Knowledge.
You know, even college students, they read books and research and write big, huge essay papers. But when it comes to voting, they don't read. Isn't that sad?
Very sad.
And they listen to everybody else, and I had the discussion yesterday with a college student. Well, how about that? How about this? They're going to vote and they didn't read. You know, when you are making spiritual decision regarding your state of mind, decision regarding your health and well-being, decision regarding your family and the church, you need knowledge, don't you?
Yeah.
Where are you getting your knowledge from? Mm.
Media.
You see, if we don't have the right knowledge, are we going to make the right decisions?
Not necessarily.
You know, many people, and talking about Christians here, make decisions based on how it feels. And you know something? Here's another sad thing. When Christians want something, they know in their subconscious is not good.
Mm-hmm.
They don't pray, but they use the name of the Lord somewhere to justify that. And here is what is very dangerous. It is one thing to ask the Lord for understanding. It's another thing to ask the Lord to bless your decision even though you know it's wrong. It doesn't work.
He won't bless the wrong decision.
Absolutely, he won't. And the Bible is saying that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Lord is understanding. It is good always to ask the question, Lord, my heart is struggling with this. Part of me clearly wants it. Your living word said, no, I am really embattled about it. Your word is true. Your word is life. Forgive me for my struggle. And I yield my heart and mind and soul and all of my struggle to you. That's healthy. Rather than denying the voice of God and denying the voice of knowledge and just walking in darkness hoping somehow it will be the light. Address the truth as truth, because that is going to set us free. Jesus said, know the truth and the truth will set you free. That's where our liberty through the blood of the Lamb comes from the truth. So let us read some of this truth that is written in Hebrews chapter 4, and let us look at verses 12 to 16. Regarding the word of God and the knowledge of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick. This means alive.
Yes.
The word of God is alive. Mm. And powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword,
yes,
piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Boy, that is loaded. That is loaded. You know, when I and you pray before we read the Bible, I read for the Holy Spirit to give me the knowledge and the understanding and the discernment of the Word of God as it how to apply it in my own daily life and in the life of others. And guess what? When we pray, the Holy Spirit groans and intercedes on our behalf. And He knows exactly what happened to us throughout the years. He knows the struggles of our hearts today. He has the complete discernment of our needs. And He will be able to interpret the Word of God to fit our daily needs and guide us in all wisdom of decisions. You know, and at times, the Word of God will pierce through our hearts. And you know how a piercing feels.
Yes.
Right? When you pierce something in your ear or your nose nowadays or in your hand, you know how piercing feels.
Yes.
The Word of God goes straight to the heart. You will feel it. You will feel the conviction.
Right.
And naturally, we feel bad. Why do we feel bad?
We know it's wrong.
You know, we feel bad. No, we're supposed to feel good. The devil is making us feel bad.
Right.
Because he makes us feel that we're about to lose something that is good for us.
We're unworthy.
Right? But no, the words of God convicting us should be bringing deliverance. It's all right to say, oops, I'm wrong in that. And someday I will overcome by the precious blood of the Lamb. So the Word of God is quick. This means alive. It moves so quickly when you read it straight to the heart. Because out of the hearts are all the feelings. All the feelings come from the heart. And then all the issues of life come from the heart. How we feel and how we think and then how we make decisions. Right? And you know, all of the advertisement, whether it's in paper or whether it's on TV or whether it's on radio, is designed to speak straight to your heart. It is all targeted toward your emotions. I've taken a class in industrial psychology. And I tell you, that's why I say, getting the knowledge of the world is good because it shows you all the deceptive ways of the world and how to protect yourself from it. It is all targeted to certain people. They choose their target market. And they already examine the target market. And whatever promotion, even the colors they use on their dress and the manner they dress, the manner they talk, whether the product is a chocolate or whatever it may be, all of the assorted colors, everything in the promotion is completely targeting the feelings of this target market. And they hire industrial psychologists and pay them big amount of money because it is worth the investment. The Holy Spirit works much stronger than that. Much stronger. And better yet, the Holy Spirit knows our every need and our emotional needs. And no one knows human hearts and human minds and human nature more than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why I don't feel afraid to read the Word of God for what it is. It is truth. I'm not afraid for the Holy Spirit. Actually, I pray daily for the Holy Spirit to convict my heart of what is good and what is evil, what is right and what is wrong, and how to overcome wrong. And how to administer what is right in my life. And the Lord Jesus knew that there is no way for us to overcome sin without His intervention. Did you hear that again? The Lord Jesus knew we cannot overcome sin and the suffering of sin and the curse of sin and the oppression of Satan on our own. He had to come in this human nature, which is a wonderful mystery. He had to come in the human flesh and take our complete nature upon Him to do some work. Some of that work we are aware of, the other we are not aware of. Paul has been trying to expound on that a little bit. So let us read the next verse. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Now that doesn't sound good, right? That we are all exposed, all of our sins and all of our struggles are very well known to Jesus. Every human being, believer and non-believer, is standing naked before Him. Nothing can be hidden from Him. Nothing. Now, to some, that is very scary. To others who believe in Jesus, that is naturally true. For me, it is naturally true. You know, parents, especially mothers, you had this baby inside, didn't you? And that baby came outside, completely naked and exposed before you. And you had to tend to the need of that baby day in and day out. You know about every scar. You know about everything your baby has. Long before your baby knew about it. You know about the birthmarks. Long before your baby knew about it. Also, you raise that baby to know about what is weak inside the baby. Whether he is short breathing, asthma, whatever some of those issues are. And you have stayed long night with that baby looking and listening and loving and trying to understand the needs of that baby who cannot talk for himself or herself. And you went to doctors and slowly the child grew up and you began to know more about their emotions, their temperaments, when they cry, why they cry. You know more about them than they do about themselves. Isn't that true? They are completely exposed to you. And as they got older a little bit, they still don't know things about themselves that you do. And it's amazing, I've seen lots of wonderful, consecrated Christian parents who really receive sometimes verbal and emotional abuse from their children, including my own mom. You know, sometimes children think that the world evolves around them. Right? Because they've never been parents yet. They didn't raise somebody and been responsible for anybody yet. And the manner and the way they talk to their godly mother and father, I'm talking about godly parents here who are doing the right thing, okay? I'm not talking about parents who are doing the wrong thing. Talking about godly parents who are doing the right thing. And we see that the children go through their stages of growth and change of temperaments, and they reflect that in their speech with their families and the way they talk to their parents. And I see godly parents showing benevolence, long-suffering, patience, and not angry. You know why? Because the parent raised the child and knew how much the child can handle. And know that the child needs lots of help to make lots of changes in his and her own life. They have tremendous love in the heart, and if there is pain, the pain is not because of their pride was hurt. The pain in the heart of a loving parent, it's because they know what the child is struggling with. And they are hoping that someday the child would get help and change and enjoy life more. Mm. You know, I have seen my mom getting under the knife many times with this abusive speech of my siblings. Many a times. And when I got older, I had to stop it. Dad, excuse me. What are you trying to say to your mom? Say it to me, I'll explain it to her, since the way you're talking with her is not a proper way. Tell me, what do you want to tell her? And I will explain it to her in a more honorable, respectful way. So today, in front of me, when I'm visiting Egypt, no one dares to talk to my mom, but in a respectful way. But, you know, when they get problems and they have conflicts with their families and loved ones, hollering and screaming all the time to her. And I'm looking at her, there is nothing in her heart but tremendous amount of love and pity and compassion for them. She never takes anything personally. The Bible is saying that everything about us is exposed before our God. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
A good thing.
Did you see that? It's a great thing. I don't know myself as much as I am trying to understand myself. God, who made me and put me in my mother's womb, know much more about me than my own mom. God understand all of the spiritual and the psychological and the physical ramification of the long life of sin I have lived, and how it impacts my emotions today, and how it impacts my emotion tomorrow. And I am very gratified about that, that Jesus knows everything about me. Therefore, I can trust no other more than I can trust Him.
Yes.
Over how I feel, what I want, what I need, what my struggles are. And I just come to Him just as I am, Sandra. Without one plea. Just as I am. As a child, fully trusting mom to care for him and her. I am trusting Jesus to care for me just as I am every day. And you know, the faster we trust his love for us, the more we will seek his counsel for us. Isn't that true?
Yeah.
When children trust the love of their parents, there should be no other human being on earth to be trusted over children more than their own loving, consecrated parents. Mm. No one will ever give to a child than a parent does. Mm. Do you disagree with me there?
I agree.
Your friends are there for a short time, but they cannot bear all of your responsibilities.
No.
You know, your mom, your dad have cared for you just as you are. Just as you are. Jesus cares for us and loves us just as we are. Now I'm going to call upon some of you parents. No details. Don't give us details. Sandra, Robin, Dane, and Peter, and Cynthia. You raised children, right?
Yes.
And I'm sure your children made lots of decisions that grieved your heart.
Yes.
And I'm sure many a time they spoke to you in a manner that really broke your heart. I want to ask you today, do you love them any less today than when they were born?
No.
Peter? You know about their weaknesses, right? And you know about their temperaments. But you also know about their struggles and some of their needs. Even though you cannot satisfy their every needs, you still love them, don't you? And you know what? That's what Jesus said. You know, you parents who have the love of God in your heart, you know how to love your kids and give them good gifts despite of who they are. Howbeit your Father who art in heaven, who have given you all of these good gifts. There's no such a thing as a perfect Christian parent. I haven't seen it. And I don't think I'm going to be searching for one because it's not going to happen until Jesus comes and everything will be perfect then. Until then, we all try to reach to that perfection of his own character. Why? First, I am thankful that I am exposed and naked before him. And if I am, I'm not worried about what other people think of me. Right? I am very concerned that my life on earth as a defective sinner not to become a cause of hurt or stumbling to anyone, because I am a sinner. And all of us should be concerned about that. Parents and children. Okay? We all should be striving for the knowledge of God and for the perfect presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. Because if you look in the Bible, and if you look in Genesis, if you look at the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if you look in the life of Jeremiah, look in the life of Moses and Aaron, if you look at the life in the New Testament of Peter and Paul, you will see that God have loved and used struggling sinners to bring about the gospel of his perfect love to humanity. And we are his children, right? Ambassadors of reconciliation. God is still able to save us, to heal us, to change us after his own heart, and in the process to use us for the divine blessings of many. Why? Next verse. Seeing then, since everything is naked before him, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Wasn't that the title of your song call? Son of God? Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Let us hold fast our profession. You know, Sandra, you are the mother of your children. Nothing can change that. Imagine if one of your children decided, that is not my mom. Will that change that you are their mom?
Can't change that.
That's a profession. You are the mom. Even if the kids say,
right,
she is not my mom. It doesn't change the profession that you are the mom. The Bible is encouraging us to consider something. Jesus, the Son of God, who was resurrected and seated at the right hand of the Father, is our high priest. And let nothing change that fact in our mind. Let us hold our profession.
Yes.
That Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God that was slain once and for all, is the Savior of the world and the Savior of my soul. Yesterday, today, and forever remain the same. That he is my high priest. He is my intercessor with the Father. He is my protector from the enemy. He is my provider with every living bread and every living water. He is my shield and my buckler, my shelter in the time of storm. He is my comfort in time of sorrow, my strength in time of weakness. He is all in all and over all. If you keep that profession in your heart, in your mind, and in your life, we cannot be praise to the enemy. He cannot prey on us. We are naked and exposed before him. Praise God. And there is much more than that. Paul is explaining the next verse why we should be holding tight to that perfect unfeigned love for us. Next verse. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all point tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Wow. You know all of the sins we are struggling with? Jesus understands. why we're struggling with it. When he put on our human nature upon him, he was tempted in all things as we are. Yet somehow, he never sinned. What does it really mean to us? We are all unrighteous sinners. And we cannot become righteous on our own. He had to take over your nature and my nature. He had to be tempted and tried in all things as we are, yet he knew how to complete the victory over sin in his flesh on your behalf and mine. That's why the Bible called him the expiation, the substitution for you and for me. That is the foundation of our profession. That is where our liberty comes from. It doesn't come from our sin and the struggle with sin. It comes from our ultimate faith and trust that Jesus bore our nature upon him and our every sin, and was tried and tempted and suffered the consequences even unto death. And he was humiliated for you and me. If we keep that profession and pray daily for Jesus to become our Savior, we have our liberty. Because we are not denying truth. We are not denying knowledge. No, I was just talking with Peter. When anyone comes to me, and I'm very thankful for most of you here, those at least that I had close communication with. You know, when someone come and say, I'm struggling, and share with me some of the real private secret struggles, what have I but to truly love and honor that individual?
Keep it private.
When someone come and say, I'm really struggling in this area and this area and this area, wow. To me,
wow.
It is power. Someone is saying, I'm exposed and naked. What's my job? Anything I can do in Jesus' name to help them. There's no condemnation upon them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. But you know, the greatest struggle with who? Is with the people who do not want to deal with what is going on in their lives.
Right.
And it is the greatest struggle for me, because eventually it happened this way. They go through their own decision making and they don't want to deal with truth, and then the world crumbles. At that time, after the world crumbled, they come to someone connected with God. See if that someone can fix it. Does that work?
No.
Doesn't work. And it's quite sad. It's easier and much more viable and much more effective, and it's biblically correct to come to Jesus as we are every day. Every day. Remember, the knowledge of the holy is understanding. It is good to understand who we are, why we are who we are, how can we become under the banner of the cross of Calvary, how can we become among the redeemed every day. Remember what David said. Remember his life. See, when we read his life and the life of all of the saints in the Bible, they are not saints. God called them saints, but they are not saints. They were made right in the eyes of God. And we've seen them struggling with all of their sins. As the Bible said, even Jeremiah was man with such a passion as we are. We don't know about all of his sins, but we know he was a human being. And the Bible said he was just another human being. And he himself told the Lord, I am not fit that you will send me as a prophet. Are you sure? But the Lord qualified and sanctified him to become a prophet. And you know, David cried out that we ought to bless the Lord with all of our heart. Why? He forgive us all our iniquities. Those that we know and those that we don't know. And then he healeth all of our diseases due to our iniquities. And then he said, he redeemed our souls daily from destruction. Are you aware of the many destructive events that have been taking place around your home? You don't. You don't. You only do when you hear it. But the Lord have prevented major crises from taking place in the life of the redeemed every day because they are trusting their life to Him. That's why David said, "Trust and bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name."
Yes.
And then he said, "Because He crowned your life with loving kindness and tender mercy,
yes,
that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
Jesus have gone through it all before us. He understands all of our struggles, all of our fears, all of our anxieties and worries about yesterday, about what is going on today, and about tomorrow. And Jesus is yesterday, today, and tomorrow shall be the same.
Yes.
And therefore, He give us an invitation in the last verse. "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need."
Yes.
That is power. This knowledge is power. And that is where the boldness comes from, and the courage comes from, and the freedom comes from, by coming just as we are boldly to the throne of grace. Exposed, naked, and shamed, and yet it is Jesus who promised to place His white raiment, the robe of righteousness, to cover our nakedness and shame. That's how we become righteous. Not because we are righteous, but because He is righteous. And because He took our human sinful nature upon Him, He takes our own sinful nature away and place upon us His own robe of righteousness. And then it is the Holy Spirit. This means we are justified by faith in Jesus to become the children of God. And if children, then heirs. And if heirs, then joint heirs with Jesus. And once we become justified to become the children of God, slowly the Holy Spirit takes control to sanctify us and make us holy daily from the inside out. And when we breathe our last breath, if the Holy Spirit has been in our heart, He will seal our names in the book of life eternal. Amen?
Amen.
So remember, the Word of God is the sword of the Spirit to defeat doubt, fear, and the snares of the enemy every day. Read it and heed it and live it as sermon in choose, and you will find it a very joyous journey of power to be one under the banner of the cross of Calvary along with the saints, and to find the Lord Jesus working in your life tremendous amount of work. You will prosper in all things. Every battle will come your way. He will fight it for you. Because battles are necessary to get there. To conquer and to get to the promised land, you're going to have to go through the journey, the spiritual warfare. It is normal. But allow Jesus to fight that battle for you and me. This is my prayer in His holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Shall we stand together? Lord, thank You for giving us the knowledge and the understanding of who You are and what You have done for all humanity. Thank You for our parents and all the people throughout history that You have blessed and elected to speak to our heart Your living words of truth. May You write Your words on the tablets of our heart that daily we may always come to You, morning, noon, and night, consecrating our lives, past, present, and to come to You. May You complete the work of holiness and righteousness You begun in all of us. And may you forgive us all of our iniquities, heal us from all of our diseases and the curse of sin. May you redeem our souls daily from destruction, known and unknown to us. And as you have crowned our life with your loving kindness and tender mercy and the great gifts of heaven, Lord, it is the desire of our heart to let your Holy Spirit guide us to use our lives for the blessings of many others. In Jesus' name, amen.